Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church of Duncanville, Texas. Normally in Duncanville, Texas, but today we are back in Denton, Texas at our second location in my home. I'm Jane Grainer. I'm the senior pastor, and it's great to have you with us today. We had hoped we would be back in the sanctuary today. We broadcast from my home last week because of the winter storm and the driving conditions. Well, the winter storm has forced us to go live here from my home again. Many of you are probably aware, but just in case you're not, during this last week, some pipes at the church burst and flooded the entire building with water, anywhere from 6 inches in some place to well over a foot in other places in the building. And so, unfortunately, our building is unusable, at least for a couple of months for the foreseeable future. And so we will not be able to live cast worship from our sanctuary as we have been doing during this last year of the pandemic. So if we thought we were having to adapt to conditions before, we're really having to adapt to conditions now. But just so you know, our technical team is working on ideas so that we can go ahead and live cast from our respective homes and maybe hopefully get Wesley and Lauren back in as part of our worship services on Sunday morning, each of us from our respective homes. And we're working on that to make that happen. But for now, our church is unfortunately unusable. The good news is, all of our audio, visual, and technical equipment that we have purchased over this last year, all of it is saved, all of it is safe, all of it was up off the floor. So that is some really good news. And you know what? We wanted to change that flooring anyway, and now we have an opportunity to change all the carpet in the building and think about what we want for that. Mo is our chair of trustees. He wanted me to let you know that if you plan to do anything in the building to go or clean up or anything like that, let him know so that he can keep, so that at least one person can have the full picture of what's going on in the building. And hopefully we'll have someone from a restoration company and also inspectors sometime, hopefully maybe later today or tomorrow, to go out to the church. And at some point, I do anticipate that we may need to do a church work day. And if that happens, we will definitely be announcing that so that we can all maybe go help out everything there at the church. A huge thank you. Bill Elliott on his camera is the first who saw the water on camera in the building. And so Mo and Sid and Raymond and Ken and Bill have all been up there trying to take care of things, got the water off. And also Dana and Lori, thank you so much, because they went in and got a bunch of stuff that was on the floor off of the floor. We think that our handbells were in the water for however long, but we think they're going to be okay as long as we just let them air dry. Though we're still holding out to see if our organ and pianos are going to be okay. Unfortunately, though, we had moved all of our sheet music into the fellowship hall for our sanctuary remodeling, and therefore had them placed right underneath where the pipes burst. So unfortunately, we think our entire sheet music collection will be a total loss. But if we have the pianos and organ and the handbells, though, we're going to do great. And so just look for announcements in the days to come. Again, if you're going to go up there in the building, just pass it through Mo first, because he's going to be our point person in the days ahead as we go forward. Obviously, then, if we don't have a sanctuary, then our plan to have a bunch of your crosses on our altar is not going to be able to go forward as planned. So if you've already gotten your cross to Kathy, Kathy will keep hold of it and get it back to you. It was a great next Lent we can do that and have everyone's crosses there on the altar, but it's not going to be able to happen this year. Because of everything, however, I thought after our sermon, it might be a good idea to have a renewal of our baptismal vows. This is a liturgy that we sometimes follow in the United Methodist Church. And I thought today, after the week that we've all had, and it also first Sunday in the season of Lent, then a baptismal renewal might be a good idea. And all it requires on your guys' behalf is that you go get just a little bit of water. I just have a little bit of water here in this bowl. It doesn't take much. So at some point during the service, if you could go get some water, tap water is fine, and have that ready for our renewal of baptism after our sermon. But even if we don't have a sanctuary, we still can take donations for our communion rail offering for the Promise House in Dallas. And that's a charity that provides basic food and shelter and healthcare for homeless youth in the Dallas area. But I would also like to make a special appeal. We're going to have expenses in the next few months that we have insurance, but it's hard to anticipate, and insurance only covers so much. So if you've not made an offering this week, I invite you to make an offering now during the time of this service to support our ministry and our church. You can do that on our website, tumcd.org, or on our Church Center app. And if any of you out there are part of our online worshiping community, and if you haven't been a regular giver or have given it all in the past, we would particularly ask you now if you could make a gift to our church in light of this damage that we have we've suffered. And again, you can do that through our website, tumcd.org, or you can just mail a check to the church, because now we have that locking mailbox. I had planned to start a new sermon series today for the season of Lent. It's going to get postponed for a week because I have a special sermon for today in light of our winter storm. But we are going to start our Lenten sermon series next week. If the cross is the answer, then what is the question? And we'll be looking at the different theories of atonement, or in other words, we'll be looking at all the ways we understand what we mean when we say that Jesus died for our sins. In our connection group, our Lift group, our Lift Sunday School that meets 9:30 on Sundays, we'll be reading the book that this sermon series will be based on. They started this morning, and that book is called Savior, What the Bible Says About the Cross, and it's by McGray de Vega. And this book is available through Amazon or Cokesbury. If you'd like to be part of the class, just contact Evelyn Glass, and they'd be happy to have you in their class. Or if you just want to read the book on your own, I also recommend that. Our other Sunday morning connection group, 9:30, is our UM Disciplines class via Skype with Mo Tanner. And on Wednesday evenings, we have our social principles study via Zoom. And if you want information about that, then just let me know. That's a lot to announce this morning. But now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer through this centering psalm. And we're going to use Psalm 32 to help us get centered in our worship of the Lord. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Be glad in the Lord and righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And now please join us for our opening prayer. O merciful Father, in compassion for your sinful children, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. Grant us grace to feel and to lament our share of the evil that led him to suffer and to die for our salvation. Help us by self-denial, prayer, and meditation to prepare our hearts for a deeper penitence and a better life, and give us a true longing to be free from sin through the deliverance won by Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. And now it is my prayer for you that peace may be upon you. So, peace be with you. And also now join me now for our prayer of illumination. Lord, we come broken. Give us a story of hope. We come fearful. Give us a story of peace. We come cynical. Faith. We come empty. Fill us with your word. Liberate us so that we may have ears to listen for the story of life. Amen. We have two scriptures this morning. Our Old Testament scripture reading is going to be from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, and we'll be starting with verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Our New Testament scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew. We are in chapter 3, and we are starting with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. So this is the word of God for the people of God. It's hard for me to describe just how disconcerting it is to hear the sound of a waterfall coming from your own home. Last Wednesday, about 9 o'clock, I got up from the couch and I walked toward the kitchen. And though it was dark, I noticed there was a strange reflection coming up off the floor, and I instantly knew that what I saw was water. And my first thought was, okay, what do I do? So I tried to ascertain first the source of the water. Was it coming from under the kitchen sink, from under the refrigerator? Is it coming from the downstairs bathroom? And that's when I heard the sound of the waterfall coming from my utility room. So I stepped through utility, I opened the door to the garage, and I found that the ceiling of my garage had collapsed upon my car, and now water was gushing from the exposed entrails of my attic. And so my next thought was, how did I not hear that? And then my thought after that is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I guess the first thing I should do is cut off the water to my house. But I don't have the slightest idea how to do that. So I began to text and call my siblings and my friends, hoping that someone could quickly tell me how to do this, but no luck. I called Bill Elliott. He said, there should be something that looks like a manhole cover down near the street, but you'll need a special tool to open it. Now, my tool collection barely covers the basics of a hammer and a couple of screwdrivers, so I'm certainly not going to have any tools that could conceivably or remotely be described as special. But then I remember just a few years ago that this thing called the internet had been invented. So I Googled how to shut off the water to your house. And the answer I got back is it depends. You see, the water shutoff valve for a house could be in any one of a multitude of places. According to these websites, the most likely place for my water cutoff to be was in my basement or my crawl space. Well, hello, this is Texas. We don't have basements and crawl spaces. Any other idea of where it might be? And so one of these entries said there might be a smaller hole cover that doesn't need a special tool somewhere in the yard that will be labeled water. Except that right now, every square inch of my yard is covered by 5 inches of snow. And I had this mental picture of myself out there on my hands and knees in the snow, trying to find this smaller hole cover that may or may not exist. And so at this point, I knew time was of the essence, and searching for this elusive shutoff valve was not a good use of my time. So I called Denton Municipal Utilities, and I got a very lovely dispatcher named Tanya. She was kind and cheerful and good-humored. And I thought, actually, this is rather amazing because I bet all day long people have been yelling at her. But the calmness in her voice helped me now be more calm. And so, yes, someone from the city can come turn off my water, but then she apologized profusely that there were others ahead of me, so it might take a while. And I ended up talking to her 4 times that night. And the last time we spoke, she said the technician who had come to shut off my water looked at my water meter and it was just spinning. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what my water bill is going to be for this month. But I want to give a shout out then to Tanya from Denton Municipal Utilities. On Dispatch Wednesday night, you were an angel. Thank you. So what to do next? Well, try to clean up some of this water. So I waded through the several inches of water in my garage and got out my little wet dry shop vac, and I started vacuuming away. But I wasn't even making a dent in this volume of water, and my shop vac kept falling over and spitting back out all the water that I had just vacuumed up. And at this point, that I realized trying to pick up this much water with this little teeny weeny shop vac was like trying to douse the fires of hell with a garden hose. This was really, again, not a good use of my time. So going back to that same invention, the internet, I Googled water restoration near me. A list came up. I began at the top and I just started calling people. But every company said just about the same thing. The earliest that anyone might be able to come out, might, would be Saturday. And remember, this is Wednesday. So I go to the 7th or 8th number and I almost skipped it. It was this small little company in Little Elm, Texas. I'd never heard of it. It was called Aqua Parrot Restoration. And there was no address, just a phone number. But I called it, and that guy said he could get someone out there that night. So I rejoiced. And as I waited for him to show up, I just tried to move things out of the way of the water. And I started in the utility room where there was about 2 or 3 inches of water, as well as my cat's food bowls and litter boxes. To say that the cats were freaked out would be an understatement. And as any pet parent knows, cats just love water and they just love change. So I moved their bowls and their boxes to a dry area, and I must give them credit. They continued to faithfully use their litter boxes for the 2 days it took before I could get them back into the utility room. And if you know cats, you know that that's about as much as you can ask from a cat during a home emergency, is just to keep faithfully using the litter box, even if their world has been turned upside down and is now covered with water. And so I want to report all four of them were very good cats. Well, it was after midnight when the guy from Aqua Parrot came. He reeked of smoke, but like the Denton utility dispatcher, he was friendly and reassuring. He said, my house was not that bad compared to the others that he had seen that day. We got the water removed within hours, not days. And while the floor was saturated, it looked like all my walls were going to be okay. And then he reminded me, the ceiling came down in my garage, not my living room. Very good point. He was there from midnight to 2:30 in the morning, removing all the standing water in my house. And he had been at this since 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was so grateful. And while I did not catch his name, he too was an angel, if even a very smoky angel. So Wednesday was a very long day, for as you know, it had just been earlier that morning that I got word that the church building had flooded. And from what I'd heard, it was in a lot worse shape than my house was. Well, I've talked to you some of you over the last few days, or I've seen your posts on Facebook, and I know many of you have also suffered from water damage from burst pipes in your home. Some of you have been through multiple rounds of power outages or had to deal with boil water notices. And so I was thinking about my last sermon series. If you recall, it was entitled Proclaiming the Year of the Lord's Favor, or How to Keep 2021 from Being the Hell That Was 2020. Well, so far 2021 hasn't been that much better. And you may have seen the meme on social media, 2020, the year from hell, 2021, hell froze over. Well, in that last sermon series, though, I had to make a lot of last minute changes because of the insurrection that happened in Washington, D.C. So as a result, I didn't get a chance to cover all that I'd planned to cover in that sermon series. And so likewise, today was supposed to be the first installment of my Lenten sermon series, If the Cross is the Answer, What is the Question? But then we got, as I saw in another meme, 2020 COVID, 2021 Snowvid. There's a lot of good memes out there, by the way, if you haven't seen them. So for Lent, I had intended for us to explore the cross and to explore what we call theories of atonement, or in other words, to explore what we mean when we say that Jesus died for our sins. But as I've grappled with what we've all been through in this last week, I began to think that this winter storm, with all its privations, might actually be a very helpful way to enter into this season of Lent. So what is Lent? Lent is a 40-day period, not counting Sundays, that precede Easter Sunday. And Lent is a time of reflection and introspection and repentance. And we often choose a Lenten discipline, some sort of Lenten discipline during this season, something that we either give up or something that we take on. For example, we might choose to give up our favorite food or to take on the practice of daily scripture reading. So Lent then gives us this opportunity to reassess our lives so that we might more fully have the mind that was in Christ, or to put it more simply, so that we can be more like Jesus. In the early church, Lent was always associated with baptism. It was the practice in the early church for converts to Christianity to undergo a lengthy process of learning and formation prior to being baptized. And baptisms were only performed on Easter Sunday. So Lent, therefore, became this last and final period of preparation for the new Christian before undergoing baptism and becoming a full member of the body of Christ and taking their place in the church. And furthermore, I might add, these new Christians were baptized by full immersion while fully nude. And as they came up out of the water, they were given a brand new white robe to dress for their first worship then on Easter Sunday. And so just an interesting side note, and only men baptized other men, and only women baptized other women. I'm always interested with early church history. So of course, though, water remains a very potent symbol, our most potent symbol, than for baptism. But in the early baptism, since baptisms only occurred right after Lent, then water has also become associated with Lent. So in a way, our church being flooded with anywhere from several inches to over a foot is in a way a very appropriate way then for us to start this season of Lent. Water is a fundamental force. It has the ability to nourish life, to cut through mountains of stone, and to wash away whole cities. It holds the power of life and death. When a new mother is about to give birth, we say that her water has broken. Bind a person underwater, and it has the power to drown. Water then has this power to end our lives, but it also has the power to make us clean. Not unlike baptism, water has this power to make us think deeply about what is important, what we need to save, and what we need to let go of. What are those things that give us life? What are those things that only weigh us down? In the weeks and months ahead, we as a church will have a chance to go over every part of our building and to reassess its use and structure and to reassess what it is we need to keep and what it is we need to throw away. I mean, we even find this in the Bible. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, including a time to keep and a time to throw away. And I'm going to have to do the same thing in my house. I debated whether or not I wanted to share this with you because it's rather personal, but I wanted you to be aware that pastors have to deal with the very same emotional baggage that everyone else has to deal with. So here goes. As most of you know, I was in a committed relationship for 28 years, and 6.5 years ago, that relationship ended. When it ended, there were several parts of the house that looked kind of similar to what you might see on a TV show about hoarders. Maybe not quite that bad, but bad enough. And so I spent the first several years after that breakup just cleaning up all that stuff and getting those rooms back in order. Excuse me. Except for my ex-partner's office. That room was the worst. That room really did look like something you might see on a TV show about hoarders. But for all these years, I've just simply kept the door shut, almost like just kind of pretending it doesn't exist. It's no longer a part of my house. But since that pipe burst on Wednesday night, and now the carpet has become saturated with water, I now have no choice but to go into that room and to start to get it cleaned out. Because if I don't, then that space, which up until now has only represented maybe a lack of progress, will instead become a place and a source of mold and mildew and rot. I start tomorrow. This room then is symbolic for the many of these things in our emotional or our spiritual lives that it may be time to clean out. Up until now, it may have been just something that holds us back, but if we don't deal with it at some point, then it's just going to end up becoming an area of mold and mildew and rot. Cleaning out that room has now become my Lenten discipline. It's not the discipline I would have chosen, but it's the discipline that I have been given. I invite you then to pray and meditate on what you might want to take up as a Lenten discipline. It could be one of the more traditional disciplines, such as fasting or spending extra time in prayer or volunteering for the less fortunate. And if that's your discipline, that's great. Those types of disciplines now for 2,000 years have been helping people become closer to God and leading to genuine spiritual growth. But this year, you may want to ask yourself or ask God, what discipline would God be calling you to take up? What is it that is nagging at your soul? What difficult task is it that you can just no longer put off for later? Try to think of this task then not as a burden, but as an opportunity and as a gift. Trinity United Methodist Church now has an opportunity and a gift. You could say we're giving up our church building for Lent, only it's really not all that different from the way we've had to give up our church building throughout this entire pandemic. And we'll continue now to have to ask, what does it mean to be a congregation when we can rarely see each other's faces in person? And what does it mean to be Christian community when not only do we not gather in the building, we don't even have a building in which to gather? But take the faith, however, that where two or three are gathered, there Christ is in the midst of them, even if it is only online. And as the Song of Solomon reminds us, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. And the waters that course through our church will never be able to drown the love we have for God or the love that we hold for each other. And God is with us. God is Emmanuel through the floods. As we read earlier in Isaiah, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel and your Savior, the one who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. So we're not being swept away. We're being baptized into new life. And so at this time, I would like to invite you to then join me in a reaffirmation of our baptismal vows. If you've not already done so, now is time to go and to retrieve some water for this sacred reaffirmation. It doesn't have to be much water, just plain tap water is fine, but just have that ready. And now let us pray. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are invited into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. We're given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism and acknowledge what God is doing for us and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. So now on behalf of the whole church, I now ask you to reaffirm these baptismal vows. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? I will. And so now, let us pray. Holy Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept over the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection. and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin, to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. So, remember your baptism, and remember that you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. I invite you now just to dip your finger in the water and to place the sign of the cross on your forehead. If you're worshiping with someone else, you can place the sign of the cross on each other's forehead, but you can also do it then by yourself and just place the sign of the cross there on your forehead. And now know that the Holy Spirit, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And so the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And so now, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. And so here we have several prayer requests that y'all have sent in. Jan Knowles sends in a prayer request for her good friend Jean, son Ernie, and their remaining elderly dog when they had to put their companion dog down on Saturday. I know putting one of your pets down is really deeply painful, as any of us who've ever had animals in our lives know. So a prayer then for Jean and Ernie and the remaining dog. And I will say, excuse me, Lord have mercy. Excuse me. And now I've just lost my way just a little bit. I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and you'll respond, hear our prayer. If we come across a joy, I will say, this is the work of the Lord, and thanks be to God. So for Jean and Ernie, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And prayers for Trinity. Several of you have sent in prayers for Trinity. And Sheila Cliff said, I wish I could be there to offer some elbow grease. And so we may be asking for offerings of elbow grease. So I'm going to send up prayers. Several of you had this in here. Prayers for our church, Trinity. We have a real time here, like I said, an opportunity to make decisions about what to keep and what to discard. We have decisions now. It's more than just cleaning out our closets or cleaning out our cabinets. We now really have an opportunity to rebuild the church in some ways. And so let us pray for God's wisdom as we go through this, and that we may be able to feel God's presence, God's power, and be able to hear God's will for this church in these weeks and months ahead. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then prayers for everyone who's been affected by this storm. We want to offer up prayers for, this is from Ann Barnes, for Michelle and family, for they finally have power in Galveston, but they don't have water due to burst pipes. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer request for, this is from David Van Hoosier, for their house, that we've been without water for 6 days and don't know when we'll have it and really need drinking water. So thank you. So prayers for David and his family. David, I was without water there for a while, so I know what you mean. So prayers for David, the Van Hoosier family, and all of those who are without water right now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer also then for, I got word this morning that my pastoral successor at my old church, Oak Haven United Methodist Church in Irving, their pastor now is Albana Tayango, and his mother-in-law passed away this morning. So I want to lift up prayers for the family of Sandra Jean Luck, and for Albano and the the congregation there at Oak Haven. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then we have some thanksgivings, prayers of thanksgiving from Jan Knoll, that her cousin Sandra's water damage was outside her house. Like, I'm thankful that most of mine's in the garage. And so this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And a word of thanks from Michael and Celeste Wesley that they are now home. So this is the work of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And Jan also sends blessings and thanks for Mo Tanner for turning on the gas fireplace in her house. So Mo's also been just instrumental in everything that's been going on at the church right now and dealing with this water damage situation. So a big thank you to God for Mo Tanner from both the church and from Jan. And we know that people like Mo really are the work of the Lord. So therefore, thanks be to God. And so now, as children of God, let us pray with confidence the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a reminder, if you feel so called by God, we could use some monetary offerings right now. And you can send those offerings through our website, tumcd.org, or through the Church Center app. So again, thanks to all of you, to all of you trustees, and Bill, for all you've done during this last week to help our church through this time. And so let us go forward. Let us go forward in knowing that we're still being upheld in the grace and mercy of God. And in that grace and mercy, now let us receive this benediction. Know that it is the Lord at our side as we pass through the many waters. And may we hear the voice say, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Love your neighbor, wear a mask, and know how to cut off the water to your home before there's an emergency. Bye-bye, guys. We'll see you next week.